They thought I was picking on them in Jackson. Some of y'all might think that too, but as I was talking to Kelly on the way down here, this really came from stuff that happened in Horse Cave last week. So it didn't really have anything to do with the people in this congregation. Or, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe you got some problems that I don't know about, but anyway, you are in Jackson. But as many of you know, I came out of the Worldwide Church of God. There is no messianic movement anywhere at any time that has done the things that were done there. 8.5 million plain truths every month, putting the truth out without twisting it, without watering it down. 2.5 million good newses every other month for people who were co-workers and wanted more than just, you know, current events in the news and a little bit of prophecy and stuff. 55 million copies of the United States and Great Britain in prophecy. All of this stuff was distributed for free. You don't have a messianic movement in the world that puts out 8.5 million of anything. Forget about whether it's free or not. You don't have any messianic movement, including Monty Judah, who has 146,000 people showing up for the Feast of Tabernacles. Hey, and everybody got their tithe, and they weren't here for the weekend, baby. We're here for the whole show, right? You know, you look at the messianic movement and a lot of the things that they produce, they just, it's not there. When I got saved in 1986, I came to church. There were 400 people there. Okay, it wasn't that we were weak that we had 400 people there. Oh, no, you didn't even get to come to church until you had talked to a minister and you'd read half the literature and you were already on board and on point with Sabbath, holy days, tithing, dietary laws. You weren't coming to church until the minister was satisfied from talking to you that that was the case. So it wasn't that we were weak that we had all of these people. We did it while we were strong, and you will be hard-pressed to find a messianic community anywhere in this country that requires its adherents to not work on Shabbat. I'm just saying. You got to love the truth. You got to love the truth. And as Coleman was fond of saying, it always comes back to Shabbat. Everything always comes back down to Shabbat, and we're going to get into that real deep. I'm going to take y'all through some stuff today. Are y'all ready for the Bible? Because we're going to go through it deep. I'm not picking on folks like they thought I was in Jackson. I am going to slaughter a lot of sacred cows. If you've got some sacred cows and yours get slaughtered, just lick your lips. We're going to have some barbecue. Okay, it's not that I'm picking on folks, and I've been sitting down. What does everybody believe? Look, there's this whole big thing going around about this Islamic Antichrist, right? Now, look, many of y'all know I love Perry Stone. I'll tell you why I love Perry Stone. It's not because I agree with his theology. It's not because I agree with 90% of his teaching, because I disagree with it. It's because he laid hands on me and I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? He loves that Islamic Antichrist stuff. Okay, you have to totally annul large parts of the Bible to get that. And I'm going to tell you something else. It always comes back to Shabbat. You see, I can't say we, because you see, I didn't get saved in Sunday and then come to Saturday and have to start making changes in my theology. You know, Sabbath ain't Sunday on Saturday. I got saved in Shabbat. I got saved in Sabbath. I got saved in Passover and in holy days and the dietary laws. I didn't get saved the other way. I'm a pot-smoking, womanizing heathen over here that gets saved and then it's Shabbat and holy days and straight. Okay? I didn't go through a transformative process. You're taught things about prophetic eschatology in the Sunday world that just ain't right. Every person that comes in from the outside is going to bring one or more or several of these myths. One that goes around is the Illuminati. Everybody loves the Illuminati. Look, man, they ain't nobody. They like to think they're somebody, but they're not anybody. How can I know that? Because this don't mention them in the back. It don't mention them. I mean, it don't mention them back here in Revelation. It don't ever talk about the Illuminati in Revelation. So guess what? They ain't nothing. Okay, so how can I stand up here and tell you about prophecy and it happens? How can I stand up here and be so different from all the other prophecy teachers and they're all going one way and I'm going the other way and I can be so totally confident? I'm not arrogant. I'm really not. I'm not proud and I'm not boastful. People call me stubborn. Takes a little of that. There used to be a time when the courage of your convictions was considered a virtue. What I have is I have the truth. I'm looking for my glasses. There they are. I know the truth. The truth has set me free. I know what the Bible says about these various parties. I don't have to worry about eschatology. I don't have to worry about being right. You know, the church that taught me the truth also told me that Berlin was going to fall and everybody else said communism was going to take over. Guess who was right? The Berlin Wall is gone. How could we know Germany had to be reunified? Nobody else taught that. How could we know that way back in 86? How could Herbert Armstrong know that in 1948 that the Berlin Wall had to come down? Germany has to be reunited before prophecy goes forward. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It all has to do with the nature of the European Union. You see, beasts are governments, as we're going to show. They're not religions. And when you want to talk about the beast power that comes up, the fourth beast of Revelation, which is the Roman Empire and all of its Holy Roman resurrections, then you understand that Germany's at the heart of it. A divided Germany and a Russian takeover of Europe was never in the cards. How could we know that? It's right there. This is what they're going to do in the end times. That wasn't a part of it. So it's easy to know. I don't chase fads. I stay solid. And I keep a lot of my friends mad at me because I'm just going to stay here. I'm not going to venture to the left. I'm not going to venture to the right. I'm not going to follow people on fads. I love my friends who chase those, but I'm not chasing with them. I can stand up here and tell you this because I know my Bible. I know the keys to prophecy. I know history, and I watch the news. Okay? A friend of mine wrote me, asked me about some current events not too long ago, and I wrote him back, and I said, everything they taught me in the Worldwide Church of God is happening on the news, on Fox News, right in front of my face, exactly the way they told me it would happen. He wrote me back and said, amen. A lot of folks left a lot of that, and now they're chasing Islamic Antichrist. But I'm going to show you straight out from history how that's not possible. I like simple things. I'm a very simple man. I like empirical analysis because some of the other stuff is too convoluted for me. I can't keep all that in my brain. Y'all say, oh, well, you say all kind of stuff that you keep in your brain. Yeah, but it's simple. It's simple. It's all based on a real simple formula. And that formula goes like this. The United States of America is descended from the lost house of Joseph. Without question. As Kelly talked about last week in the covenants and the promises. Okay, we got them. Nobody else has them. There's no one else that has ever had those promises, and we're the only ones that have ever had them. We're at the end of days. There's not going to be another 100 years for another nation to rise up and have. How will we know the Chinese aren't going to overtake us? Because it says we got the blessing. They didn't. There's nothing in there about the house of Japheth getting the blessing. It's the house of Shem, specifically through Joseph. Simple. There's going to be an Antichrist empire rise in Europe. How can I say that? Because we're going to go through the beast. We're going to go through the beast, and it's going to show you that the Antichrist empire rises in Europe. And sure enough, if you go to Europe, right in front of the Parliament building in Strasbourg, France, is the whore riding the beast. It's right in front of the building. I mean, what else they got to do? They put it on the coins. They put it on the paper money. It's on all their pronouncements. It's on their website. There it is. They're advertising, right? The king of the South is Islamic and is about to push at the King of the North. And the final battle is going to be between the EU, Russia, and China, all three of whom are arming up for the end time Armageddon. America stands or falls based on the accumulation of the individual sins of our people. That's right here. We're Joseph. It says that all the nations under the sun were given to their gods and to worship snakes and trees and rocks and animals and plants except for us. We have to worship the Lord our God, whose principal form of worship is Sabbath observance, and we're not doing it. Oops. Real bad. Real bad. And I'm going to show you that Sabbath observance is the mark of God on your right hand and your forehead, and Sunday observance is the mark of the devil, the Antichrist, on your right hand or your forehead. I understand the implications of what I just said. I learned that truth in 1986. I proved it through the Bible by going through Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the book of Revelation, line upon line, back and forth, here a little, there a little. I understand how many of my family and friends are carrying the wrong mark. makes me pray really hard for them that second week of Teshuvah. When we're going through Teshuvah, it's get right the first week, and the second week it's really pray for them because they got the wrong mark. And I understand the ramifications of having the wrong mark. It's not the tribulation, it's the wrath of God in the back. The real bad stuff. So, we're going to go through these things today. Now, I heard a man on TV, on the radio, and he was talking about the skill set required to raise up a million-dollar business. There's a skill set that is required to raise up a business that does $1 million a year. There is a better skill set required to raise up a business that does $1 billion a year. And no human beings possess the skill set that can manage a $14 trillion economy, though there are lots of people that think they have it. How can I say that? It's simple, because no one's ever been able to do it before. All right, many people have tried, right? Just look your history book. I mean, the Soviets tried to run the Russian system. Were they able to do it? No, it was an absolute disaster. The communists tried to run the Chinese system. Okay, did it work? No, it was an absolute disaster. And we made the opening to China as a counterweight to Russia to put some capitalism in there so they didn't collapse back in Reagan's term. But I digress. For people to believe in the Illuminati that are supposed to run the $100 trillion global economy. I mean, they're putting supernatural abilities on these people that nobody has. The Illuminati, the Masons, and all the conspiracy theories, the Bilderbergers, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds that you hear about all the time. None of that is real. Oh, you hear about it. And yet, do those people want to control the world? Come on. Huey Lewis did the song back in the 80s, man. Everybody wants to rule the world. Come on, y'all. I ain't the only one that was alive then. All right, everybody wants to rule the world. But whether or not they have the skill set and the means and the capability or whether they'll actually achieve it is another ballgame, right? Wanting and having are two different things. God tells you who's going to rule the world, and they ain't listed. None of these conspiracies are listed. How can I know that? Because I just know what the Bible says, and we're going to go through it. Let's go to Revelation 17. And I'll show you who is going to rule it. Revelation 17 tells you straight out. Okay? Now, if we were 200 years ago, this might not be so clear. If we were 100 years ago, this might not be so clear. If this was 70 years ago, it might not be as clear as it's about to be. Sorry, y'all. I'm still quite sick. Oh, I have drink. It's and I took my Mucinex to Revelation 17, verse 12. I may end up with that. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom. Okay, there's ten kings. There's ten kings about to come on the scene. Who are these ten kings? Thank you, hon. The Western European Union consists of exactly ten members, all of whom are constitutional monarchs. The Western European Union has been given control of the military arm of the European Union. There's your ten kings. There's your ten kings. There's ten kings who have control of the military arm of the EU. The ordinance of the European Commission that creates this as the military arm of the European Union is number 666. Hal Lindsey reported that 3 or 4 years ago. Okay, all of these, Spain, France, Germany, and I forget all the others, they're all constitutional monarchies, Belgium, Holland. They're all constitutional monarchies. They all have monarchs that in a crisis can dissolve their elected parliaments and take over executive control of the government and hand it over to the Antichrist for 1 hour. You don't have that in the Islamic world. They will receive authority as kings along with the beast, and they have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with Him will be His called, chosen, and faithful followers. The Illuminati The Masons, the Bilderbergers, the Rothschilds, they're not these ten kings. The Bilderbergers are industrialists, the Rothschilds are bankers. I don't see anywhere where that combination of people takes over. But these ten kings take over for 1 hour, and they give their authority to the beast. Revelation 13. Some people think that the Catholic Church is the beast. Close, but no cigar. Catholic Church is not the beast. Right, Revelation 13, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea, and he had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each had a blasphemous name. And the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. Okay, who's the beast? What does this mean? How do we interpret this? I'll tell you how. We let the Bible interpret the Bible. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. We let the Bible interpret the Bible. That way we got a sound, we can always make up what we wanted for these beasts, right? You have an allegory here. And when you have an allegory and a fantasy story and a vision like this, we could sit down and make up virtually any story we wanted to, but it wouldn't make it real, would it? Daniel chapter 7. Look, I know what I learned. I know the men I learned it from. The men I learned it from are as true to the truth of their convictions and the courage of their convictions right now in their old age as they were when they got it. I am passing on to you the very truth of the living God. As you stand at the beginning of all the events of the book of Revelation to watch them unfold before your eyes in real life, I'm passing on to you the truth. Hold on to it like a lamp in a dark place. Don't let anyone take this from you, because you know it says in the Bible, and we're going to read that after a while, that if you love not the truth, the Father himself is going to send you a strong delusion. What I'm giving you, grab a hold of. What I'm giving you, hold on to dear life for it. You hold on. This is the truth. You must love it, because if you don't love it, you will not be allowed to hold it. You've heard me say many times, if we chain you to the wall in this place because we love you, if you don't love the truth, you will not be here when we come back, because an angel from heaven will come and take you out of here, because you've got to love the truth. People come, people go all the time. We get a wave of folks in and they leave and one or two stay. We get a wave of folks in and they leave and one or two stay. We get a wave of folks in and they leave. Why? Why? Because they don't love the truth. The ones who don't love the truth can't stay. It's not my choice. I keep everybody. Doggone, we've had tons of people come through. I love them all. I don't want any of them to leave. I want them to grab the truth and hold on to it for dear life. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed, and he wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea, and four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle, and I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast which looked like a bear, and it was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. And after that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. And this beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. And after that in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrible and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth, and it crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. And it was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. The last beast had 10 horns. The Revelation beast had 10 horns. We're getting somewhere. Verse 15. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. And I approached one of those standing there, and I asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four beasts are four kingdoms. Not religions. Kingdoms. You can't get an Islamic Antichrist out of that. Because Islam is a religion. You can't make the Catholic Church that because it's a religion. These are kingdoms. These are kingdoms with kings and armies and laws and governments. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. But I still want to know about the fourth beast, which was different and terrifying, and iron teeth and claws, and the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. And I also want to know about the 10 horns on its head, and about the other horn that came up before which three of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others and had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And as I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them. Okay. Out of this government comes a horn that's different. It's different. It's not like all the other horns. But it wages war against the saints of the Most High. Now, I'm going to show you, as we go through this today, that prophecy oftentimes has dual fulfillment. There's a former fulfillment, and there is a latter fulfillment. Former fulfillment guarantees latter. There was a former protecting of the saints for 1260 prophetic days that guarantees that there will be a latter, especially when it's listed twice in the same prophecy, as we're going to show. But you got to remember something. The way it happened the first time is exactly the type, the pattern of the way it's going to happen the second time. It's not going to happen one way the first time and something totally different the second time. The way it happens the first time is going to guarantee not only that it happens, but it's going to happen exactly that way. By the same people. To the same people. This horn is making war against the saints. Okay. This is not something that you are looking for coming forward at you in the future. You're in 2011. This is given in 400 BC. You're at the end of the movie. You're before the last act of the play. In other words, you're going to look at who has already been making war against the saints. Because this started a very long time ago. And we're way late on the scene. You see, people who take that part away and who do not look at the former fulfillment of prophecy and exactly how it transpired in history, they don't know what they're looking for coming up because they're looking for all the wrong things. You've got to go back to the former fulfillment and you've got to see exactly who this was that made war against the saints and exactly how they made war against the saints and when they made war against the saints so that you can know who's going to do it to you in the very near future. That's why I can make such bold claims about prophecy all the time, and I know I'm right. Because I'm telling you, it's going to happen exactly the way it happened last time. Now, let's take an example. We just passed Hanukkah, right? And we told you that Antiochus Epiphanes committed the abomination that makes desolate. All right, everybody remember all that? Jesus, almost 200 years after the fact, says, "You watch for the abomination that makes desolate spoken of by the prophet Daniel." Huh? That was 200 years ago. But he's not talking to them because it's not going to happen in their lifetime. He's talking to all of us because it's going to happen again in our lifetime. And he's telling, let the reader understand. Come on. Let the reader understand when you get down yonder, you got to look back. Why do you think it's important for a Christian church to keep Hanukkah? Are you feeling it? You got to keep Hanukkah because you got to keep your eyes fixed on what they did last time to make the abomination that makes desolate because you're going to look at one just like it. Now are we getting serious? There are important clues in here. Until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. So this fourth beast, of Daniel, that's the terrible, great and terrible beast of Revelation, is going to continue until we get the kingdom. This ain't going to quit. This is going to be going on. It's been going on since way back in Roman times, and it's not going to stop until we get the kingdom. Do you got the kingdom yet? Then it's going on. You ain't got the kingdom yet. It's still on. And he gave me this explanation. You ready? I mean, you're getting explanations. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth, and it will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. And the ten horns are ten kings who will come from this kingdom. And after them, another king will arise different from the earlier ones. I don't know when to quite tell you about that, but he will speak against the Most High, and he will oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. And the saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. When was that? A time, times, and half a time is 1,260 prophetic days or 42 prophetic months. And if you go through any eschatology study, they'll all tell you the same thing. Day for a year principles, one of the most important principles in prophecy. It's very well understood. I shouldn't have to go back and explain all that to you. But that king oppressed the saints for 1,260 years. Day for a year. That took place. That's historical record. That's fact now. That's not something you're looking forward to. That's something that took place. And we're going to go over that. The important clues leave out all the favorite friends. The beasts represent governments, not churches. And the last government has all the horror marks of the first set of world-ruling governments. As we read in Revelation chapter 13, it's got feet like a bear, it's got parts like a leopard, it's got a mouth like a lion, and all of these are the four beasts of Daniel, which as Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar was shown the vision, the statue, the image with the head of gold. That was him. Okay, so the lion represents the Babylonian Empire. Okay, and the Babylonian Empire was symbolized by a winged lion. I think Perry Stone went over some of this in one of the films we got to watch. And you've got the chest and arms of silver, which represents the Persian Empire, which is represented by the bear with three ribs in its mouth. And so it has all the power and all the strength of the Persian Empire. And it has the regal bearing and authority of the Babylonian Empire. And then you've got the leopard, which was the Grecian Empire with four heads. And when Alexander the Great dies, you got the four generals divide the empire up. And have you ever noticed that all of the buildings are based on Grecian architecture? Even in Rome. Come on, all of Rome was built according to Grecian architecture, right? They're trying to show the learning. Even the Greek classics were what they educated the Romans on. So you have all of this continues right on down. And then you have finally this great and terrible beast who's an amalgamation of all of them. I guess I'm going to throw it in here because I can't think of a better place to put it in. But the Catholic Church is set up in the image of the Roman Empire. The College of Cardinals represents the Senate. The Pope carries all of the titles of the Roman Emperor, Pontifex Maximus, Papa, there's more. It's set up as an image of the Roman Empire. That is the king that's different, that causes the other kings to persecute the saints of the Most High God. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that real deep. None of this can be construed to be the Muslims. Because when all of the former fulfillments took place, Muhammad ain't even born yet. There ain't an Islam until 600 and something AD. This stuff starts happening at 325 with the Emperor Constantine. So if you have a former fulfillment of hunting down the true saints of the Most High like God, like pack animals, at 325 AD, and Muhammad's still over 300 years from being born, how can you have a latter fulfillment of a former that didn't take place? That wipes out everybody's pet theories. I mean, this takes them right out. Because, you see, the second fulfillment has to be exactly of same type, pattern, and as the former fulfillment. And the former fulfillment was the Roman government declaring you and I to be anathema from Christ for Judaizing on the Sabbath. Yep. Oh, he said it. So if the former persecution of God's church is going to be for Judaizing on the Sabbath and holy days, what do you think the latter one is going to be? Daniel chapter 11. No, the Holy Roman Empire resurrections all led Europe on crusades against Islam. They all led Europe on crusades against Islam. No, these two fight each other. And the central tenet of an Islamic Antichrist is that the European Union and the Islamic nations of the old Roman Empire are going to merge together to be the 10 toes of iron and the 10 toes of miry clay. And Brad Scott's got a real nice word study on Adam and how that's, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. And they get so caught up in this stuff. And I love them all dearly, but you know, it's just not right. It's not going anywhere. Turkey's being shut out of the EU. You see, Turkey has to join the EU and bring in Iraq and Iran and Egypt and all these other countries to make this thing work, but Turkey's being shut out. As a matter of fact, in Horse Cave last week, the pastor there told me that he was watching a YouTube video of the president of Austria. Y'all know Austria means Österreich, the East Reich, right? They're all Germans. Getting in the face of the ambassador to Turkey and telling him, hell no, you will never be allowed in the EU. And not only that, but we're fixing to round the Turks up and send them back because you're out of here. All right, so all over Europe you have the rise of Nazism to throw the Muslim infidels out of Europe. Okay, so everything is going exactly the opposite of the way my friends in the Islamic Antichrist teaching tell me it's going to happen. As somebody told me during the week, what's Perry Stone going to preach then? I said it. Look, I love Brother Stone. I'm not trying to pick fights with Brother Stone or Brother Cloud or Brad Scott or any of them. But you know, the truth is the truth. The facts are the facts. And I'm not chasing after fads. I'm preaching straight. Because I know where I came from. Like I said before, there's no messianic anything that's ever done what the churches I started in did. As far as promoting the Sabbath and God's truth and the dietary laws and the whole nine yards. Hey, look, bro. When we had 146,000 come to the feast, they were all second tithing. Do you realize in the worldwide church of God, we even did third tithe? We did third tithe. We did it all. We kept it. It wasn't like we were weak. We kept it. We did it. Verse 40, Daniel chapter 11. At the time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots, cavalry, and a great fleet of ships. And he will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. Okay, how is an Islamic Antichrist going to invade parts of the Holy Land with ships? Are they going to get in the Persian Gulf and sail all the way around Arabia and then come into the Suez Canal to attack? You see, Perry Stone literally said the king of the north was Turkey. Rico Cortez showed a map of Islam, right, every 100 years. And then in 1920, he shows no Islam. How do you get that? He got that because most of those Islamic countries were under British mandate by the League of Nations. But none of those people stopped being Muslim in any of those countries. That was a flat out right lie. He showed that in Murfreesboro. We went to a conference over there. And I couldn't believe it. I almost got up and walked out. I mean, I didn't want to make a scene. But I mean, you know, when you show an obvious falsehood to try to make your point work when the facts
don't line up.
Why not just go with the facts? Why go that way? Why not just go with the facts? Because they're so simple and so easy and they don't require any finessing. He will also invade the beautiful land. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand, and he will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasuries of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and Nubians in submission. Okay. Libya, Egypt, Chad, Sudan. There you go. Why would Turkey come down and do all that? With the United States giving Egypt $1 billion worth of military aid every year, how is Turkey going to come down and take over Egypt? It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But this last resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire is going to be engaged with militant Islam. Now, did you see where Iraq has told the United States we will be out by the end of 2011, rain, sun, or shine. Did you see that? Full interview with Nouri al-Maliki of Iraq. And he said, without question, with no equivocation, no backup, no renegotiating of anything, America will be out of Iraq at the end of 2011. Everybody. So now, Ahmed Chalabi, some of y'all will remember, he was the CIA's man in there, and he has already said that there's been a secret deal struck between Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran for a security agreement. There's your king of the South. Now, when we had the terrorist attacks on 9/11, who was the first person to call the United States? First foreign leader to call George Bush was Gerhard Schroeder of Germany, pledging Article 5. Now, some of y'all don't know what Article 5 is. Article 5 says that any attack on one member of NATO is considered an attack on all members of NATO, and all members of NATO have pledged their military force to retaliate. Okay, we're not going there, but Psalm 83 lists Assyria, Put, Libya, and Persia in conspiracy to bring down Israel. We're Israel. We're the northern tribes. Okay, so they're in league to bring us down with our Arab antagonist. At the same time, they're wanting to pledge. Why? Because they're using these Arabs as dummies to bring down the United States, and then they will invoke Article 5, and the crusade is on. Now, remember Muammar Gaddafi? After we go in there and we depose Saddam Hussein, and he says, "Oh, I'm coming clean. You can have my nukes. I don't want them anyway. Hey, it's all good, right? Huh? It's all good. I'll give you my nukes. Yeah, there they are." You know what precipitated that? The United States Navy boarded a German flag ship filled full of nuclear supplies for Libya. Look, Germany's not the United States. Nothing goes on a German flag ship without the express permission of the German federal government. Every bit of that was stuff manufactured by German companies to be sold to Libya with the express license and permission of the German federal government on a German flag ship headed down for their nuclear program. How can Germany be so complicit in Libya and Iraq? You didn't know they were complicit in Iraq, did you? And Iran? They're Iran's largest trading partner. That's why they always sabotage the sanctions at the EU and the European, you know, United Nations. They're complicit in all of this. Who wants to bring us down? These nations. And yet when it happens, they'll invoke Article 5 and they can start their crusade, King of the South and the King of the North at war. Do you not see this? I mean, does this not make sense in front of your eyes as you watch the news unfold every day? Revelation chapter 12. The Islamic countries will not be in league with the European Union. They will be at war. They will be at war. Now, this is an important chapter right here. And I'm going to show you from the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, God's true church. Revelation chapter 17, the whore. You got to understand these two. These two are the ones in constant conflict throughout the entire time. How many of you realize John was the last living apostle? They kicked him out of the church. They kicked him out of the church because the heretics were already going to Sunday. They were already celebrating Easter. John would have none of it. John had a disciple named Polycarp. The Romans finally killed him. Polycarp went to see the Bishop of Rome. It's called the Quarto de Simeon controversy. Everything's named after the way the Catholics name it, right? Polycarp said, "No, the churches of Asia Minor keep Sabbath and Passover on the 14th. That's why it's called Quarto de Simeon. And the Bishop of Rome, Anicetus, said, "No, the churches of Rome, and I'm supreme, we keep Sunday and Easter." And Anicetus was the first one to start pushing the supremacy of the Bishop of Rome over the other bishops. Prior to that, it was a conference, and they all had to agree. Polycarp refused to give in. His disciple, Polycrates, refused to give in. Because of that, Emperor Constantine called a convention. He told them what it would be like when they walked out of there. They didn't argue. They didn't talk. They didn't debate. They didn't come to a conclusion. Emperor Constantine laid down the edict, sign it or die. And so people like us became anathema from Christ. Revelation 12, verse 1, a great and wondrous sign appeared in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads, and his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all nations with an iron scepter. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled to the desert, to a place prepared for her by God for a time, for 1260 days. This happened. That's past tense. That's already been done. From the time Emperor Constantine made the edict in 325, making Judaizing on the Sabbath anathema from Christ, this woman fled into the Swiss Alps. The Swiss Alps were the true people of God, the saints of the living God, who kept the Sabbath day, who honored the commandments, who kept the holy days, who followed the dietary laws, lived like you, who were anathema from Christ, who were run completely out of civilization. They lived in the caves in the mountains of the Swiss Alps for 1,260 years before, on the other side of that, the German princes refused to put them to death on order of the Pope. That's our history. The men who laid hands on me came through that. Unbroken line of succession through that to where I'm at, to where you are. That's where you come from. This is where you come from.
Hallelujah.
We're not messianic. We're Church of God. I don't mean Sunday, North Cleveland. I mean Seventh Day, Church of God. This is where we come from. These are our people. Women represent churches. This woman is the true congregation of God. This protection in the wilderness took place already in the Swiss Alps. That means your rescue is guaranteed if you hold on to the truth, because God has already protected them in the past. Therefore, there's a protection coming in the future that cannot be broken. Revelation 17, and I will introduce you to the whore that rides the beast and that kills the saints. Verse 1, one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls came and said to me, come and I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. That's on many, many types of people, right? And there is a church that sits on many, many different types of people. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. And the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. Those 10 horns again! The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and there is a church that dresses in purple and scarlet, and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls, and she held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore the testimony of Jesus. And when I saw her, I was greatly astonished. This woman is the great false church that governs the governments of the world. This is the false church that's persecuted the saints all through these years. This is the Roman Catholic Church who has hunted down the true Sabbath-keeping brethren and many of the Jewish people at the same time. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Who's the Antichrist? The ruler of the Holy Roman Empire. starting back at Nero or before him, all the Roman emperors have been the Antichrist. There's been one after another after another. When Rome was sacked in 476 AD, Justinian from the eastern part of the empire reimposed it all across the Mediterranean, and he became the first resurrection. After that fell apart, Charlemagne became the second resurrection. After that fell apart, Otto the Great became the third resurrection. After that fell apart, Charles V, you know him as the Spanish Armada. He wasn't a Spanish king, he's a German king. Spain is part of the Holy Roman Empire. He becomes the, fourth? Napoleon becomes the fifth, and Adolf Hitler becomes the sixth with the Third Reich. Those are six of the seven resurrections. You got one left to come. And as it's written in John, it says, five have fallen, one is, and one is yet to come. Mr. Armstrong read that during the middle of World War II and freaked out. It was written so that he would understand it in the last days, to understand and make sense of what's going on. Why was it given to Herbert Armstrong? Very simple. Because Herbert Armstrong is the man that God used to restore Sabbath and holy days to His united Israel. Nobody else did it. You can talk about other people in the Messianic movement all you want to. They never did it. The one that they use as the father of their movement was still in the Anglican Church in the 20s. He never came out. He stayed Church of England, talking about how Catholic light was the great majestic Christianity. That's not getting it. Herbert Armstrong came out, kept Sabbath, found out, oh, Leviticus 23, holy days, got kicked out of the Church of God seventh day over the holy days. Because he kept saying, they're binding, you got to do that. They said, no, we're not going that Jewish route. He said, no, they're right here, they're not Jewish, you got to do them. If you want the truth, you got to go to the people who are living the truth. Because you see, the truth says that you will live by God's commandments over and over and over, from the tree in the garden all the way to the tree in the garden at the back of Revelation. It always comes back down to Shabbat. The people who are living it are the ones who God gives the revelation to. The people who are not living it keep making up stories to try to make it fit, but it doesn't ever work. Former fulfillment guarantees latter fulfillment. So when things are predicted by the prophets and they happen once and they still have to happen again, they're going to happen exactly the way they did before. I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians before we go on, because you must get this. You must own this. This has got to be a treasured possession in your heart of hearts. You must love the truth. You must love the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they love not the truth. They perish because they refuse to love the truth. And so be rescued. That's what the Greek word means there, rescued. If you love the truth, you're going to be rescued. If you love the truth, you're going to be rescued. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. We can't have pet lies. We can't have pet lies. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Living by His word is truth. Living contrary to His word is the lie. This is the key to open up all the prophecies and to understand them the way they've been fulfilled and the way that they're going to be fulfilled. You must understand this piece right here. But we ought to always, so that all will be condemned who have not delighted in, believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. But we ought to always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be rescued through the sanctified. He chose you, man. He didn't choose them out there. He chose you to be rescued by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, by loving the truth. He chose you for this. And through belief in the truth. Through belief in the truth. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. He did not choose you to fall away. He chose you to love the truth and to hang on with everything that you have. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. We're here. Men don't want to hear sound doctrine. They got their own sacred cows and they got their own pets and they love them. And they don't want to get rid of them. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. We live in this time. This is going on all around you. There's never been an easier time in the history of humanity for teachers who do not love the truth to be able to just gather themselves all the following they want. They'll turn their ears aside from the truth and turn aside to myths. Don't go for myths. Love the truth. Love the truth. You know, I love to worship in the Spirit. I love to pray in tongues. I love to feel the move of God. But you know what? If I don't love the truth, I'm not going to be here, and you're not going to be here, and none of us are going to be here. It doesn't say loving, playing in the Holy Ghost is how you stay. It's love the truth.
Amen.
And I, with everything that's in me, I'm going to do my dead best to ground you so strong in the truth that husbands, wives, do you not know that in the end time he said, I'm bringing a sword, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Parents are going to turn their children out to the wolves, and children are going to turn their fathers over to be killed. It's all over the truth. It's always over the truth. Every time this has gone on through history, it's been over the truth. The gifts of the Spirit died out when they ran us out into the woods. You realize that, right? That's when the gifts of the Spirit died out, and they said, oh, well, we have spectator church now. We don't need the gifts of the Spirit because we have the Holy Bible all canonized at the same time they ran us off in the wilderness. You cannot have the gifts of the Holy Ghost without the truth because it will die out. And in fact, my Pentecostal friends are telling me that it's dying out in their churches right now. Why is it dying out in their churches? Because we have it now. And we have the truth.
Hallelujah.
And as long as we have the truth and operate in the gifts of the Spirit, there's no reason for God to be playing that over there. I could go on that for a long time, but I'm not going to digress. I'm always going to teach you the truth. You may hate me for it, you may leave over it, but I'm always going to teach the truth. I'm not going to shift. We're always going to clearly portray it. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Because all this has been his background. We're fixing to get right now. Are you ready? It always comes back to Shabbat. It always comes back to Shabbat. You have to know that the United States is the northern house of Israel. You have to know that the royal house of the United Kingdom is the house of David. Because you see, you've got to know that the U.S. is Israel to make sense of prophecy. But the only way to do it is the key of David. The key of David is knowing that the royal house of David, son of Jesse, king of Israel, sits on the British throne right now. You've got to know that. That's the key that brings the whole thing together. And you have to know Shabbat. Hebrews chapter 3. You have to know Shabbat. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. It always comes back to Shabbat. It's always going to come back to Shabbat. I'm going to show you in a minute how Shabbat it really is. It's the mark of God. It's the mark of God on your hand. You cannot have the mark of God if you don't keep Shabbat. Today, if you hear your voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray and they've not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. For 40 years they walked in that desert. For 40 years they stayed in their tents on Sabbath. For 40 years that manna fell 6 days and you gathered twice as much on Friday and you didn't venture out of your tent to get any manna on Sabbath. And for 40 years they never entered his rest. We've got to enter the rest. The ancients could never enter the rest. Even in David's time, they could never enter the rest. He's going to talk in it when we come back to this about how in David's time, again, it was called God said a certain day saying, today, if you hear his voice, enter the rest. But they did not enter in Moses' time. They did not enter in Joshua's time. They did not enter in David's time. And the writer of Hebrews is talking to you in the last time and saying, today, harden not your hearts and enter his rest. Entering that rest has to be done through the power of the Holy Ghost in the worship. You cannot work on Sabbath and enter the rest. But by the same token, if you're not Spirit-filled, you can't enter the rest just because you're not working on Sabbath. Entering the rest is a spiritual act that takes place in the worship.
Ooh. Ooh, that was some heavy preaching there, brother.
And I understand what I said. You'll never master prophecy without understanding the Sabbath rest for the people of God. The ancients could not enter in. Sabbath is the key to understanding. The woman of Revelation 12:6 is the Sabbath-keeping church. How do I know that? Because it was Israel in the wilderness who always kept the Sabbath. That's who brought forth the man-child. But it wasn't Israel that went into the rescue. It was the true Sabbath-keeping church of God that went into the rescue in the Swiss Alps. Being persecuted by the horror of Revelation 17 for keeping the Sabbath and Judaizing on the Sabbath. How many of you saw the Left Behind series of movies? Great movies, all fiction, terrible on doctrine, nice movies, give you a lot of ideas. Doctrinally, they stink. No Antichrist is going to chase the Sunday-keeping church. The Antichrist uses the Sunday-keeping church to kill the Sabbath-keeping church. It ain't ever been any different. The Ruskies aren't going to do it. The Chinese aren't going to do it, even though a lot of them say, oh yeah, China, the symbol of China is the red dragon, and the red dragon here is going to catch up. Former fulfillment guarantees latter fulfillment. And the first thing the Roman Empire did was make Sunday Christianity, we know it as the Holy Roman Church, they made it the official religion of Rome and put everybody to death that was outside of it. So, are you willing to die for the Sabbath and the holy days? Are you willing to die for it? Are you willing to die for it? Suppose they passed the edict today and they came for the door. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to give it up? See, we've all got to count that cost. That's a cost to count. That's a gut check cost. That's a real now down. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to escape first. Right? Right. Or as my brother Jeff said, I take a bullet for you. And I said, well, I might hesitate, but I'm only trying to think of how we don't, neither one of us has got to take it. I mean, let's figure something out first. On the other hand, if they come in the front door, they probably already got the back door blocked. What if the Lord said we're going out without a fight?
He says we're going out without a fight. I guess they got no choice.
Revelation 17, verse 3. This woman is the Holy Roman Church. Saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast covered with blasphemous names and seven heads and ten horns. She's dressed in purple and scarlet. That's what the cardinals wear, purple and scarlet. Who forces Sunday observance and has the governments of the world kill the Sabbath keepers. You know, the Muslims worship on Friday. They ain't even in this story. No Antichrist is going to kill Sunday Christians. He's going to pursue the Sabbath Christians. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, and I will show you. See, all my Sunday friends that like the Islamic Antichrist, they just don't know what they're talking about. See, they brought their Sunday isms into Sabbath church, and they don't come into Sabbath church. When you get to Sabbath church, you find out we got our own history, and it goes back a long ways, and it's just all laid out. He will speak against the Most High and oppress His saints and try to change the set times and the laws. No Islamic caliph has ever done that. But in 325 A.D., Constantine, Emperor of Rome, did. 325 A.D., Constantine, Emperor of Rome, changed the day of worship in the Roman Empire. Or actually, it was always Sunday. He just made it a Christian day of worship and outlawed worshiping or Judaizing, as they put it, on the Sabbath. They made it, quote, anathema from Christ, which meant they could kill you. You keep Shabbat, you die. Who changed the times? The Moed? That's what it is in here. It's Moedim. Change the Moedim. What are the Moedim? Leviticus 23. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the Sabbath day is holy unto the Lord, and on it you shall hold a holy convocation. Then there's the Passover and unleavened bread and the feast of weeks and trumpets and atonement. That's the Moedim, and they've been changed. So Constantine gave you Sunday for Saturday. He gave you Christmas for tabernacles, and he gave you Easter for Passover. Who tried to change the set times and the laws? Constantine did it. So who's going to do it in the future? A future emperor of Rome. Not the Muslims. Not all the people that folks want to make it. Do you not realize that the official religion of the European Union is the Roman Catholic Church? They're already riding the beast. The beast ain't even come out into the world right now, into the sunshine to show everybody who it is, and they're already riding it. Do you not realize that the Germans umpteen times have tried very hard to pass Sunday laws in Europe? You do not work on Sunday in Germany. You do not work. When you ride around these factories in America, they have an ISO number on the front. That means they're European Union compliant. When Germany enforces Sunday law on all of Europe, you will have to obey it here if you work at that factory, which means they're calling you in on Sabbath. See? It's already going on. Do you not realize that in the European Union, the calendars show Sunday is the seventh day of the week? Do you not realize that all the European calendars now start on Monday and end on Sunday so they can say, see, it's the seventh day? Yeah. Changing the times and the laws. Changing the times and the laws. They already changed the times and the laws. That was in 325. This is in 2011. It's not what they're going to do in the front. They've already done it in the past. Past fulfillment guarantees future fulfillment. That what they did in the past is exactly the type, the pattern, the shadow of what's going to happen directly in front of you. The persecution to come will not be Islam versus the Sunday Christianity. It will not be communism versus Sunday anything. It will be Roman Catholicism, Sunday Christianity versus Sabbath Christianity. And you've got a lot of Sabbath keepers in this country right now who work on it on a regular basis. So every time I go to the Messianic community, they are always openly talking about working on it. That's why I come back to, I'm not Messianic. I didn't come from that weak mess. I came out of Church of God Seventh Day, which became Church of God Worldwide, which became Church of God United, which became Hungry Hearts Ministries, because my background is solid in the truth, and I'm not bending, I'm not bowing, I'm not bowing. We're going to keep God's laws and commandments because that's what he said his true church is going to do throughout all ages. Amen. Revelation 12, verse 17. And we'll tie all this together. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments. If you don't obey God's commandments, you ain't a part. If you don't obey God's commandments, we're not going to turn there, but if you go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's the fourth commandment. If you're not keeping Sabbath, you're not commandment. You're not observant. You're not keeping God's commandments if you break the Sabbath. There's no way around it. Now, why does it always come back to the Sabbath? Well, the Catholic Church tells you not to lie. The Catholic Church tells you not to steal. The Catholic Church tells you not to commit adultery. I watched Zola Levitt after I came into this way of life. My grandfather sat me down. Oh, you need to watch Zola Levitt. Oh, and he preached on the nine. The nine. God didn't give nine. God gave ten. Oh, the nine commandments. Oh, we don't keep the Sabbath anymore. But see, at that point, it was too late. My eyes already been opened to the truth. My eyes already been opened to the truth. My eyes already been opened to the truth. So I wasn't going to hear about no nine. I wasn't going to hear about no nine, brother. If nine's all you got, you're a day late and a dollar short, and you're not going to make any of the things God says. Because it says you've got to keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Why does it say both? If you have the testimony of Jesus and break his commandments, you've denied he's the Messiah. That's preaching right there, baby. If you want to hold the testimony of Jesus, but you don't live by his words, you just called him a liar. And you said he wasn't the Messiah. So how can you have the testimony of Jesus and not keep the commandments of God? It's not one or the other. You got both or you got none. So you have to have the commandments of God. And what's the commandment they always tell you to get rid of? Shabbat. Oh, we love that you're religious, brother, but just work on the Sabbath some of the time. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And look, I only looked at one of these for the sake of time. And praise God, I'm doing a lot better than I did in Jackson because I really blew it there, so we were late. Exodus chapter 13, verse 9. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. There's your sign. Now, I've been reading my Torah. I'm in my second run through since the feast. And over again it says Sabbath right here, unleavened bread. The Torah, the law of your God, shall be a sign on your hand and on your forehead that you belong to God. Commandment breaking is the mark of the Antichrist. Commandment breaking is the mark of the dragon. From the very beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve, he said, no, you don't got to do what God said. No. You don't have to do what God said. It's always been the mark. It's always been the mark. Breaking His laws and commandments has always been the mark of the devil. Keeping the laws and commandments has always been the mark of God. That's why I can tell you, Sunday worship is the mark of the devil. Why? Because God told you to worship on Saturday, and you're breaking His command. Remember to keep it holy. Unleavened bread, the mark of God. The mark of the beast is commandment breaking. The mark of God is commandment keeping. Over which commandment has the beast killed the saints? Daniel chapter 11. So clear. What happened in the past is what's going to happen in the future. Daniel chapter 11, verse 30, last part of the verse. He will return and show favor to those who forsake the holy covenant. Oh, what's the mark of forsaking the holy covenant? Breaking the Sabbath. It's always been about the Sabbath. It's always come back to the Sabbath. What did Antiochus Epiphanes do? If you keep Sabbath, you circumcise your boys, and you keep your Torah, I'm going to kill you. If you work on Shabbat and worship Zeus on Sunday, get rid of your Torah and don't circumcise your boys, then I'll let you live. He's the forerunner of the Antichrist. Didn't we go over that at Hanukkah thoroughly? He's the forerunner of the Antichrist. What did he do? He's going to show favor to those who forsake the Holy Covenant. His armed forces will rise up and desecrate the temple fortress and abolish the daily sacrifice. They will set up the abomination that causes desolation. With flattery, he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant. What's the obvious sign of the covenant? Shabbat. But the people who know their God will firmly resist him. Will you firmly resist? Will you firmly resist? Do you have a Judas Maccabeus spirit on you that says, I'm going to keep the Shabbat whether Antiochus likes it or not? Then I'm going to circumcise my 8-day-old boys because I'm bringing them into covenant whether Antiochus likes it or not, and you'll get my Torah out of my cold gray fingers when you pry it out of them. It's what they've always done. Every enemy of God always goes back and tells the people of God they've got to break the Sabbath. Every enemy of God always goes back and tells the people of God they've got to break the Sabbath. This has been every former fulfillment of every prototypical Antichrist going back to Abel. So what's going to happen next time? Duh. Same thing that's happened the last 500 times. Same thing that happened the last 1,000 times. He's going to rerun the same exact play. So that's how come we can be so confident in these last days that living this way of life, keeping God's Sabbath and holy days, living by His commandments, it's what's going to get us in the rescue. Because that's what got everybody else in the rescue. Revelation 17, verse 6. She's drunk. She's drunk with blood. She's drunk with the blood of the saints. And I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore the testimony of Jesus. See, this is the woman that comes after us. This is the Sunday-keeping church that we know is the... Now look, that doesn't mean all those nice folks down at the Roman Catholic Church are evil, wicked people, right? They're Americans just like you are. They love God. They don't know any better. They've been taught lies. But you know what? When that Pope gives the order, don't think they won't be looking for you. Because when that Pope gives the order and the whole world goes astray, you are public enemy number one. Look, that's why it's important that we make the rescue. Amen. That's why it's important that our walk right now makes the cut. Because it's going to be rough times if we don't. And every one of us will have to be willing to go put our head in the guillotine. Look, it won't be a time you want to put it off either. You won't want to hide out and wait and let it come later. No, you just want to get in line early. Just go ahead, because there's a party going on in heaven about that time. So the quicker you get there, the better, right? Come on, somebody. Hey. That'll preach, but we're not going to do it. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to go back to Hebrews, and then we're going to finish it up in Revelation 12. It always comes back to Shabbat. It always comes back to Shabbat. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. We enter the rest. Hallelujah. Praise God. We get to do it in the Spirit and in the truth, and we get the whole shebang. You know how rare this is to have a church that's so strong and grounded in the truth of the living God, yet that also flows and moves in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? It's pretty rare. We get it. Praise God. We're the lucky ones. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet His work has been finished since the creation of this world. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all His work. And again in the passage above He says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of disobedience. That's what we talked about the last time I spoke, was the disobedience and the obedience, and how the obedient people are the ones that go into rescue and the disobedient people are the ones that are going into tribulation. Why? Because they couldn't enter the rest. And you see right here, because of disobedience, they couldn't enter. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later He spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Now, fast forward to the present. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It remains for us to enter into that rest in the power of the Holy Ghost. For anyone who enters God's rest must also rest from his own work. That's why people tell me, oh, I can keep the Sabbath by working. You can't. You've got to rest from your own work to get in. But there's a spiritual component at that point that must kick in, because it's the worship on the Sabbath and the Holy Ghost that gets you into the rest. Cessation of work is not enough. If it were, the ancients would have attained it. But it's still open for us today to achieve this right here. Just as God did from His work. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that's what I've been attempting to do today. You can be flipping to Revelation 12. What I've been attempting to do today is to take that sword, the sword of God's Word, and to divide, to shear off the myth, to shear off the falsehood, so that you can grab a hold of the deep truths of God. And brother, it says in the Bible that the deacons hold on to the deep truths of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. I'm sorry, Revelations. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert. That word is Eremos. It is not a hot, dry, sandy place. And if you look at the past fulfillment, that was in the Alps, which is a very cold, not sandy place up in the air. she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. This is the Sabbath-keeping church. This is the true Sabbath-keeping, holy day, observant, dietary law church of the living God from Revelation 12. And you can see that, as we read on the other page, that there was a time she was taken care of for 1260 days, but there's another time coming. For a time, times, and half a time, which again equals 42 prophetic months or 1260 days, to be spared from the face of the serpent. Past performance is your guarantee of future results. Great Heavenly Father.